This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This week marks an important event in the history of Michigan and the history of Native American tribes here in the Midwest. Chief Pontiac was Anishinaabe, known as the Three Fires Confederacy. Anishinaabe comprises the Ojibwe, Ottawa, and Potawatomi tribes. And 250 years ago this week, Chief Pontiac called an important Council of Tribes. The purpose? Figure out how to drive out the English settlers and army from the Great Lakes and Ohio Valley regions. Hundreds of Native Americans came to Chief Pontiac's council on the banks of the Ecorse River in what's now Council Point Park in Lincoln Park. We are all familiar with the name of Chief Pontiac, if for no other reason than knowing about the city in Oakland County that bears his name and the now discontinued GM car line. But we wanted to learn more about the significance of Chief Pontiac and this council that happened on April 27th, 1763. Joining me now is Ben Hinman. He's the interim director of the Seventh Generation Program of the Saginaw Chippewa Tribe in Mount Pleasant. And Ben is the great-great-great-great-grandson of Chief Pontiac. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to take this opportunity to really talk about the legacy of Chief Pontiac.
So, Ben Hinman, take us back. What was happening in 1763 that compelled Chief Pontiac to call this council meeting?
Well, you know, the primary reason Chief Pontiac was gathering chiefs was he had a vision. Like many of our people at that time, there was a struggle to really protect and preserve our way of life. And Pontiac saw the changes that were happening in his own communities as many Anishinaabe were beginning to adopt Western society practices. They were using muskets. They were wearing some of the clothing. They were trading with the British at that point. And many times the items that they were receiving were things that were not a part of Anishinaabe culture.
Hmm.
So Pontiac was concerned about the whole colonization process that he saw happening.
This all happened after the British basically had won the French and Indian War then, so it really focused on tensions with the British.
Correct. Well, you know, the interesting thing is people first need to understand who Chief Pontiac was. First and foremost, Chief Pontiac was one of the grand chiefs of the Madewiwin Healing Lodge. And as a member of that lodge, they were really about peace and reconciliation. They were many times approached between, there were disagreements between Anishinaabe, who were members of the Three Fires Confederacy, to find ways to resolve matters without violence.
Mm.
And so, you know, a lot of his focus at that time, even though he was also recognized as a great war chief because he was a great strategist, he was also a very spiritual man. And he spent much of his deliberations working within that structure and actually had to seek permission at every stage of his decision-making process from the elders of the Madewiwin Spiritual Society.
So there they are. He sees encroachments being made daily on what had been the way of life, seeing people become more westernized, tensions growing with the British. So what led to the idea of a council? And was this a first?
This was a first. And, you know, the formation of the Three Fires Confederacy was really based on the notion that as Pontiac interacted with the British and the French, he saw the importance of building alliances. I think one of the most amazing things he did was he discovered what some historians refer to as the middle ground. And what that means is that he found and realized that there was a common threat not only to the Anishinaabe that were living in the Great Lakes, but to every Anishinaabe nation across the country. And he used that middle ground as a way to really begin to focus on what was happening and talking about the loss of way of life. He was completely dedicated to the notion of preserving the Anishinaabe beautiful way of life. And in that way of life, he saw balance. And he knew that it had worked for thousands of years for the Anishinaabe. And, you know, they were living a good life prior to contact with the British. You know, they were looking at, you know, there are three things that that comprise our cultural identity. One of them is language. And, you know, he was concerned about the loss of language. He was concerned about the loss of land. I mean, that was his biggest, one of his biggest concerns was that we were losing homelands. And then the third aspect, of course, is spirituality, a part of his life that was very important. And he saw the effort to begin to also bring in other spiritual beliefs, Christian beliefs. And some of, you know, some of the, even during that period, there was an effort to begin to convert Anishinaabe to Christian values and beliefs.
We've seen that going back to the 1600s with the French Jesuits coming into Canada. So, yes, that was certainly a part of that. So he calls this council. They gather April 27th, 1763. How many came from how many tribes?
You know, I don't think anybody has an accurate count of the number of chiefs were present. Here's what we do know. All of the Anishinaabe from the Great Lakes region, all of the chiefs from the Great Lakes region gathered. We also know that, you know, you had the Sac and Fox in Ohio. You had the Onondaga and the Oneida in Pennsylvania and New York. And we had tribes from chiefs from as far away as New York who attended this council.
Hmm.
And, you know, the interesting part of this, and I guess a part that I should talk about a little bit, at about the time that Pontiac was talking about his concerns about the Anishinaabe way of life going away and leaving us and the impact that it would have on tribal people, there was an important Anishinaabe spiritual leader, a prophet to some extent,
mm-hmm.
who had a vision, and his name was Neolin. Neolin, when Pontiac learned about the vision of Neolin and how much it mirrored his own concerns and beliefs, prior to that meeting at the Encores River, he actually went and met with the spiritual leader, and they discussed his vision. And his vision, like Pontiac's, talked about the destruction of the Native American way of life. And so, you know, he invited Neolin to come and present his vision to the Anishinaabe that were assembled for this meeting on the Encores River. And it really was a big part of his message to these chiefs, was that, you know, this is prophesied to happen. This is something that one of our great spiritual leaders has seen.
So it's time to take action now.
So it's time to take action. We've used diplomacy. We've negotiated agreements. And we've seen them unilaterally violate these agreements.
And as it turned out, he was absolutely 1,000% right. Now, Ben, ultimately what we call roughly as Pontiac's Rebellion began that year in 1763, coming out of that council, lasted for 3 years. Lives were lost, settlers, British Army, and I've seen historians write of, you know, violent murders, bodies of victims scalped and mutilated and put on display, kind of a psychological warfare. So I guess it comes down to desperate measures for desperate times.
You know, there's all this notion that Anishinaabe people were taking scalps, but that really wasn't a part of our culture. It wasn't something that we practiced. A lot of those atrocities really were happening on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think history, if you take a look historically, what happened in the United States for up until the late 1800s, early 1900s even, the United States actually had offered a bounty for Native American scalps. Many times when that was happening during these wars, it was really in retaliation to what had already been done to Native Americans.
I'm speaking with Ben Hinman. He's the interim director of the Seventh Generation Program of the Saginaw Chippewa Tribe in Mount Pleasant. And Ben is the great-great-great-great-grandson of Chief Pontiac. It was 250 years ago this very week that Pontiac called a council of tribes, and they met in what is now Council Point Park in Lincoln Park. Ultimately, Ben, what was Pontiac's legacy?
Whenever Anishinaabe people are addressing each other, when he assembled with these chiefs, one of the signs of respect that we used at that time for each other was that we addressed each other as brothers. And in our language, a brother was indicating that we were equals. And in his message to the chiefs that were assembled on the Uncursed River, that was part of his discussion, talking about the fact that the British, you know, by violating these agreements, were treating us like children. And he was saying in that message that they don't consider us even their equals, even though they meet with us and construct these agreements. Following the war that waged for close to 3 years, or just a little over 3 years, the British finally realized that they were going to have to begin to treat the Anishinaabe with a degree of respect, because they'd been so successful in laying siege to so many of the important forts that they had established. All but two of the 10 or 11 forts that were laid siege by Pontiac and his allies fell to Pontiac's rebellion. And, you know, following that loss, the British requested that Pontiac meet with them to sign another agreement. And that agreement happened in the form of a treaty. This is one of the earliest, if it wasn't the first, time that a foreign government was really signing a treaty with Native Americans.
Acknowledge them as a nation.
As nation to nation. And, you know, that the legacy that comes out of that, of course, is that a short time later, when the United States is beginning to develop its relationship with Native American tribes in North America, in what's now the United States, George Washington and Henry Knox, who was the first Secretary of War, were working very closely together. And even Knox realized that sitting to the north were two powerful chiefs by the name of Pontiac and Tecumseh. And they had been very successful in organizing a rebellion that had defeated the British. And sitting to the south, you had another powerful chief who had about 10 to 15 tribes that were willing to follow him into battle. And so militarily, what happens is, out of that respect for the leadership of Anishinaabe nations, the legacy is that the United States also follows that model and begins to treat with tribes on a nation-to-nation basis. And so all the way up through 1871, when the treaty-making period really ended, the model, the legacy that is left behind by Chief Pontiac is that nation-to-nation acknowledgement.
And Pontiac ultimately was assassinated in 1769.
Yes. Yes, he was. You know, unfortunately, anytime you're a central figure like this in any culture, and you've been part of writing history, you always have those who are detractors from the work that you've done. And, you know, traveling in the in Illinois country, he was attacked and assassinated. And it was a great loss to the Anishinaabe because, you know, his predictions about what would happen over the next couple hundred years would come true. We would see the introduction of the Indian boarding school system and the forced removal of children from their communities and homes. It was a process of colonization. It was a process of assimilation.
And we should note, your mother and grandparents went through the boarding school system. In fact, the nuns wanted you to go into the seminary to train to become a priest, but you ended up leaving the boarding school system and you got connected with a traditional Native family in Sault Ste. Marie. You began attending powwows and you really connected back to your roots. And now you help preserve your Anishinaabe heritage. You teach others in your role as the NM director of the Seventh Generation Program of the Saginaw Chippewa Tribe. You're in Mount Pleasant. Talk to us about the idea of this seventh generation philosophy. And it's important because you actually are the seventh generation away from Chief Pontiac.
The seventh generation philosophy is really a system for making decisions in tribal nations. And what it says is that, you know, we bring with us the seven the knowledge and wisdom of the past seven generations, and we should respect and follow those teachings that are given to us. But it also says that every decision we make today will impact our children and theirs for the next seven generations. And in that belief system, it means that anytime we were deliberating decisions that would impact our people, we had to take that into consideration. And, you know, as part of that philosophy, we were respectful and listened to everyone to make sure that we were considering how it impacted everyone.
Finally, I'd like to get your thoughts, if I could, Ben. What would Chief Pontiac think of life for Native Americans in Michigan in 2013 if he could be talking with us today?
I think he would be saddened because many of the things that he talked about in his own vision came to realization. And, you know, in his lifetime, there were young Anishinaabe, and I talk about this a lot when I'm talking to our young people. There was a time when every young man in our community, when they were walking into ceremonies, when they were a part of the community, they knew exactly what their role was and what to do. And sadly today, you know, because of the assimilation policies, the impact of colonization of our communities, the establishment of the Indian boarding schools, we've seen tremendous loss of our cultural teachings and beliefs. In fact, it wasn't until 1978 that the United States passed the American Indian Religious Freedom Act. And for the first time, Anishinaabe teachings and ceremonies, which had moved pretty much underground, were beginning to surface again. And, you know, a lot of that came out of also the awakening that was happening during the 1970s. But I think Pontiac would be saddened to see where things have gone, to see that his vision, despite the fact that he fought and gave his life to protect it, still happened. I think it would be difficult for somebody from that period, any Anishinaabe from that period, to understand how that could happen.
Ben Hinman, he's the interim director of the Seventh Generation Program of the Saginaw Chippewa Tribe in Mount Pleasant, and Ben is the great-great-great-great-grandson of Chief Pontiac. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Been a pleasure to speak with you as well.
And this weekend, the public's invited to commemorate that 250th anniversary of the Council of Tribes. There'll be a powwow Saturday and Sunday at Council Point Park in Lincoln Park. And a new Michigan historical marker will be dedicated at 5 p.m. Sunday. The Lincoln Park Historical Society and Museum and American Indian Movement of Michigan holding the free events open to one and all.